4, 3.
Fuck it.
There's no words
that's
on
tomorrow.
It.
Fuck it.
We'll do it live.
Fuck it.
Because I've never seen that.
Fucking thing sucks.
There's no words there.
Fuck it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's...
Fuck it.
What day is it, actually?
Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday, and where normally you would be listening to an all-new episode of PZ85 Plays, or you wouldn't, because you ain't no nerd, bitch. Instead, tonight, you're listening to the very first, we're proud to say, the very first live edition of Podzilla 1985. It's very exciting. You can tell how excited we are. I'm sweating like Mitch McConnell down there on the Senate floor. And tonight, that's the only one. Tonight, we're gonna break it down. So let me introduce myself real quick, if you don't already know. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight for PZ85. With me, of course, we have an all-star cast of originals and well-wishers. We've got with us, back with a good cord, hopefully. We're really hoping this is going to work out. Double H.
See, the problem was they didn't know that I was a boy that wrongfully died in this house 150 years ago.
We'll talk about that in a second.
No, we won't.
We got Lindsay Wolfgang with us here tonight.
Hello, I have a kitty cat meowing at me already for attention because I stopped giving it to her.
Don't feed the trolls, Lindsay. And we've got the man himself, Tanner Calvert.
I'm terrified to do this live, but here we are.
I'm a little terrified of it too because, like, I'm legitimately like I'm actually perspiring more than I normally do in day to day life. I don't know because I feel like that.
Pretend you're playing Phasmophobia.
Sweat,
you've done that
sweat
live
on
enough.
On the Shannon. Why?
But I feel like they can see me. Like I know they can only hear me, but I feel like they can see me. And the more sweat they see, the more I sweat. So
they can only see your screen.
The cool thing about this is this is the first time we've done this live. We've got it on our Podzilla 1985 Facebook page, and we've got some people in here right now watching. Some good people, some fantastic people, couple of iffy people, mostly fantastic people. And I want to thank you guys for tuning in to the live show here. And we've got a very, it looks like everyone is in agreement that Mitch McConnell may not be on the up and up. So there's that. I'm going to sip my coffee real quick and let that marinate for a second, bud.
Just let it marinate, bud.
Why is he crispy?
Have we shared this on the Reddit page?
What's that?
I did not. Oh, God. For the people that listen to Horse Time, like Caleb Carter, who just jumped in, for the people that listen to Horse Time and think to themselves, is it Horse Time yet? Well, Caleb, you look at the Discord in the video and you tell me, is it Horse Time? Because
also, the this scene is a little bit of a lag.
I just found the picture for tonight's show.
Yes, you did. Poor Cleffa.
I don't know. I think my favorite one on there is Ugg.
Because it's pronounced Ugh.
So tonight.
What y'all don't know is that picture I posted with Shannon tonight.
What, Camp Man?
Camp Man.
I have anxiety. I do. I'm sweating through it right now. We've never done a live show before. We've done shows live. Like we did that fantastic show at Comic-Con where we had Animal, Road Warrior Animal, who
you know,
sadly passed away this year. And we had Veronica Taylor, you know, you may remember as Ash Pikachu. What's her name? Ash Ketchum.
Ash Ketchum.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. But we've never actually done a show where we've had people interacting with us at the same time. So I'm kind of curious to see how this goes. I'm excited about it. Michaela, we're glad you like the memes. If you're listening to this after the fact, because we are going to post this on Podzilla1985.com, which if you're watching the live feed, you can actually see on the left, this is our webpage, Podzilla1985.com. You can go there right after you go
to Dr. Deuce.
After you go to Dr. Deuce.
No. I knew you were going to do it. Dr. Deuce.
If you're listening to it and you're thinking, my God, I missed the magic. Well, don't worry. We'll do it again, assuming this doesn't go terrible. Paul, I'm glad we turned your day around. Jesus Christ, Tanner. Jesus Christ on her. What is happening?
I like the face swap one. That's terrifying.
I don't like.
Is this Friday?
No, this is not Horse Time. We actually don't have a name for this show.
Why can't I imagine Tanner just then holding
his
hand
horses.
Up? He holding his hand up toward a butterfly. Is this Friday?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He went full robot. I'm laughing. I just heard,
hey.
A special shout out to Ciro Villegas, who, man, you guys are really on Mitch McConnell tonight. I can't say I blame you. Originally, this show was supposed to be very politics heavy. I wanted to talk about the culture, the entitled, shitty culture that Donald Trump has not created, because he didn't create these terrible people that exist, but he did reinforce them and he enabled them. He gave them a voice. So that was originally going to be the show tonight, and it was just going to be a standard show. In fact, I didn't think I was going to do it with anybody else. I thought it was just going to be me. I thought it was going to be a solo act. But once I got the idea of, man, maybe I'd like to do it live, and then me and Hunter started brainstorming. We started testing stuff out, and Lindsay and I were testing stuff out, and I thought, let's just do a live show. That might be a lot of fun. But
it might be. We'll see.
If we do that, we can't really – we can't get too heavy into politics for reasons we can't explain. And no, Derek.
You can.
We're not calling this show Pony Clock.
Why was that an option? Who said that?
Derek Boxdorfer in the chat said the show should be called Pony Clock.
That's scarier than anything else that we could come up with.
Sip my coffee here. I don't understand. Paul Hester, I'm just getting started. I'm just getting started. So, Hunter, you said we could talk about this a little bit? You're cool with that?
Yeah, do what you got to do.
Okay, so here's what happened to me today at the store. I was sitting behind the counter discussing Wittgenstein over a game of backgammon, as I often do, and group comes into the store. No masks on any of them, of course. There's like four of them. And one of them, I felt bad because one of them was an older guy. He was in a wheelchair. He only had one leg. And no mask, so I immediately thought, okay, they look like they're going to be bitchy about this, but whatever, I'll do what I do. So I told them, hey, guys, if you're going to come in, we do have to have a mask. It's a requirement. They all stare at me, and they look at me like I'm an idiot. And begrudgingly, they put them on, except for the guy in the wheelchair doesn't have one, so he just sits in the corner of the store looking sad. I swear I could have given him a little cardboard box that said, please help, anything we'll, you know, do. And he'd fit right in on Broadway. But the rest of them come in, and one of them, as she walks by me, she mouths kind of like passively aggressively. She says, masks don't do anything anyway, or they don't help anywhere, whatever. Now, normally I hear stuff like that and I just let it go because it is my job and I don't want to pick fights at my job, but I don't know what it was that got me this time.
Well,
I try not to pick fights at my job, but something about this one really got to me. So I immediately called her out on it and I told her, you know, scientifically, masks are proven to help stop the spread of this disease. And I was ready to get into the whole thing about, you know, how I just got over it not too long ago, and I know people that have passed away from it. I was waiting for her to argue with me. And instead, her argument was, you're breathing in carbon monoxide. You're just killing yourself. It's killing you. And I asked her, I said, and where did you get your research from exactly? And she just defiantly says, I don't need no research. So I rightfully said, okay, so you're just uninformed and running your mouth. Got it. Cool. And I walked back and started working on my stuff. I was ready for her to Karen across the counter and just try to rip my head off. And she was large. Like, she was a very stout woman. So she could have probably given me the old razzle dazzle, if you know what I mean. But Caleb, I wish she had asked to see the manager, because I would have just grabbed my crotch and said, here's the manager right here.
No,
don't do that.
That's not how that works.
So she only said that she was never coming back to the store about seven times. Now, one thing I want to point out to everybody, though, is that even though she said that she's never coming back and they're never coming back, they still bought like $40 worth of games the whole time. And they looked so defeated while they were doing it, too. And then as she walked out, she said, I'm never coming back here again, for like the 12th time. And I yelled out very passive aggressively as well. Very chipper, though. I said, you guys have a wonderful day. Like, in my fakest voice. I almost went full Kirby on it, honestly.
Oh, man, I got hiccups now. I've been laughing too much. Yeah, that's just, again, that's the best part is that the best revenge is living well. And yeah. They made purchases. Oh, there it goes.
What the hell?
Oh, it was like a reverse thing. I think I'm starting to reverse sneeze the way Parker does sometimes.
That's
I'm too busy laughing at this car and trying to figure out if it qualifies for
it. Yeah.
But... but again, yeah, they made purchases. You know, you made money on the deal, and you got to make them feel bad about themselves. That's a win-win in my book.
That's true. And
I'm just I just want to say I'm picturing Hunter backwards sneezing. I just want to walk up, start petting him on the head. Just calm down, buddy.
That's okay. That doesn't help. You got to pinch their nose until they breathe through their throat. You got to cover the nostrils briefly.
I want to reply to Ed Minkin, who asked, was she eating KFC? No, I don't think they can afford KFC from the looks of them. If anything, they're eating like, I don't know, Commander Winter's chicken instead of Colonel Sanders.
What does that mean?
It's a chicken place, ain't it? I don't know.
No. You think of what's it? Crispy something. It's spelled with a K, though.
Krispy Kreme?
No, Crunchy's chicken or something like that, spelled with a K.
Rocco Modern's Life, Chokey Chicken?
No.
What?
No, that's a whole other thing.
Who's choking the chicken?
Yes, it was another one of those subliminal messages in the cartoon we watched as a child.
Yeah, Ed, as soon as I said Commander Winters, I realized my mistake and I thought, hell. Shouldn't have said that one. Rhodes Chicken.
It's fine. It's probably fine.
Yeah, so it just got me thinking about the state of America. And like, I know people were shitty to begin with. Like, I've seen that people were shitty for the longest time. I mean, my God, I've been alive for, what am I, Tanner? I'm turning 72 next week. And
I thought it was 73, but okay.
Well, you know, I don't reveal my true age. But I've seen a lot of shitty people over my years, and I thought, you know, people are terrible, but 2020 has shown me just how awful people can get. And not just 2020, it's been the entire Trump administration, the entire Trump presidency has really given these people the ability to just think that it's okay to be as rude as possible, to be as disgusting as possible. I mean, these people they're awful, awful human beings, and like, they're so proud of it, and it irritates me, and there's no revenge that I can get that's going to make me feel better about it. So I'm going to come on my podcast, I'm going to bitch about it a little bit, and we'll see how I feel there. I feel like the people especially that said the masks don't help, these are the same people that, you know, depending on what time period you were in, if they were giving out vaccinations for polio and stuff like that, they would also say, no, that's ridiculous. No one would ever say that vaccinations hurt. That's stupid. I don't even know what I'm thinking there. Who would be against vaccinations, you know?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's also happening actively right now. It's that idea that you've been marginalized when you absolutely haven't. People love to believe that someone is holding them back because they think that people who are being held back have it good. They can do whatever they want. And that's just not how that works. It's the ultimate appropriation. It really is. Like the idea that, well, if I can be part of a marginalized group, then I can do whatever I want. You miss literally every possible point there. You fell out of the tree and you missed every branch on the way down. It makes no sense.
Michaela Menton says, wait, if she says we are breathing in carbon monoxide, then shouldn't she stop breathing if she's so worried about it? Michaela, I wish she would have stopped breathing on the spot. That would have been fantastic. I would have appreciated that.
Also, carbon monoxide is not how that works. It's not what you produce. It's carbon dioxide. There's a couple of oxide molecules there. Carbon monoxide, yes, will kill you. That is not what your body produces. It's not how that works.
Until you just mentioned that, I completely glossed over that fact.
Yeah, I was wondering. I don't remember if you said that earlier, but when you told us the story initially, I don't remember if that's how you typed it, but when you said carbon monoxide, I was like, wait a minute. That's not at all how that works.
That's not how that
works.
Yeah,
no, she flat out said carbon monoxide. Like, I'm not just saying that for the laughs. That's what she said. She did not seem like the most educated person. And God knows, I don't want to sit up there on my high horse and try to look down on people. But
sometimes, it's not horse time yet.
Yeah, no, but sometimes people just need to be looked down upon. That's just true. And I don't want to sound like a liberal elitist out of Hollywood. But
no, but really, I mean, that's just.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad is what it is. So I wanted to come in here and complain about it. But like, as I'm complaining about it, I can't complain enough. Like, there's nothing to be said because everything's already been said. Like, you can't change people's minds when they're acting like complete fucking morons. You can't show people how stupid they're being because the people that are being stupid now are embracing it. They're proud of it. That's the thing that bothers me the most. That's
the terrifying part.
It's not just that people are dumb and say dumb things and do dumb things. I'm used to that. But it's just that they're so proud of it. That just bothers me. And I'm sorry, Paul. I don't want this to be a political show. I really don't. It's just, it bothers me. It bothers me. And even you take politics out of it, it just, what bothers me the most is that people would be so arrogant. They're so arrogant in their stupidity. I don't know. I'll stop talking about it.
We're less than a month from the start of a whole new administration. And that's not that that's going to fix every problem. Don't get me wrong. It's not a magic wand being waved, but it's definitely a start. It's a start down a different path. So
I would hope so. And I do want to make the promise out to people. And I've said this before, that if the Biden administration is half as bad as Donald Trump, or bad at all, honestly, like I'm going to call him out on it. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm very middle of the road. So if Biden does stupid things, I'm going to call him out on it. I don't see how he could ever be as bad as this, but whatever. Maybe he'll surprise us, old bastard. Hey, Zane Laney's here. Thank God.
Why did you have to end it that way?
Sometimes things just need to end. Ed, good luck with that possum. Zane Laney, it's good to see you.
What?
Oh, Ed said he's got to go milk the possum that showed up at his front door.
Can you milk a possum?
Are you sure that's what he was going for there?
It happens. Tanner, are you okay? You sound kind of robotic.
Yeah, you know it happens occasionally.
Ladies and gentlemen, Zane Laney just entered the chat, and if ever there was a hero among the Podzilla 1985 listener base, it would be Zane Laney. And I'm just glad that for once we can all finally kiss his ass in person, live on the air.
it's as close to in person as we're going to get for a while, probably.
Yeah, he said earlier, he mentioned something. I told him I was going to have a drink with him one day. And he said that, you know, it would have to be like soda because he's straight edge for a very, very long time. And my immediate response was going to be, hey, me too. That's cool. But then I remembered that literally on Sunday I was drinking alcohol because someone brought it over and I wanted to be a gracious host.
That was the most fun night of Call of Duty in a while. That was something.
For who?
You were so defeatist. It was just like, yeah, I'm going to run up. Oh, I'm dead. I don't know what to do.
I feel like,
yeah, I'm not gonna lie, sometimes I don't like playing with y'all because I play like shit, and it's not y'all's fault, I guess.
No one said it was our fault. We didn't blame ourselves.
don't double back on that. No, it's absolutely not our fault.
Y'all are just bad luck when I'm playing. Maybe it is your fault.
No,
or maybe here's all right, Hunter, I got a theory.
That's all it is. I mean, yeah, I do a lot better when I'm playing by myself, but I'm slowly but surely getting better, you know, to the point of knowing the maps and knowing where I'm going. Tanner,
yeah,
you joined in like a
42
month.
And 24.
Yeah, but again, by myself. Every time that I have posted one of those and tagged you, that's when I'm playing by myself. I went 31-7 one time. That was alone. I've been playing for a month longer than you, too. You didn't get the game until like a month after we had it. So I know the maps. Yeah, I know the lanes. You know, that doesn't mean I always do all that well. Sometimes you just get in a real sweaty lobby with some sweat lords and they take you down. What are you going to do? You know, I mean, it's just how it is. Now, when we play hardcore domination on Nuketown, Tanner.
No, wait a minute.
Oh,
wait,
there
a
it
minute.
Is.
Nuketown
there,
is
hold
different.
Hold on. Hold on. There's the guy. You want to talk about why we get our ass handed to us so bad? He just walked into the fucking chat.
Yes, Steven.
Steven Bright just jumped in and said, it's my fault. It's absolutely your fault. So I had a theory of the reason Tanner's games go so poorly is because when Tanner's playing by himself, he's playing with the bottom of the fucking barrel. They scrape these people off the bottom of gum wrappers that were left on the sidewalk. And he's playing against these guys, and he's dominating them. When he steps in the game with me, it gets bumped up to what I like to call an intermediate level. These guys have...
and I still do well.
These guys have played Call of Duty before. They know what they're doing. Then Steven jumps in, and all of a sudden we are playing against fucking...
MLG.
God tier. Because Steven, when I go 32-17, I'm like, oh man, that was a good game. And Steven's sitting there on like 69-4, and he's like, yeah, you did well.
Oh man, what number? What was that?
Oh, 69-4.
He doesn't even know.
That's the gosh damn sex number. Six, 6-4.
Tanner could just have said that more like uninterested.
Yeah, probably.
There's the sigh.
That's a goddamn sex number.
Parker's behind me just losing it.
I like how Dalton is in the chat, but not in the show.
As possible. Wait, what?
Yeah.
He's just spectating.
He's on as Podzilla.
He's spectating as Podzilla because he's also not learned how to post things on his own. Dalton got his mic fixed, though, so hopefully he'll be back on the show soon.
Yeah, why isn't his ass in the show?
Oh, shit, I just punched my mic there. I don't know.
You left the watermark on that one. That's not original.
Oh, well, it's just a picture I found off of the internet. I mean, is that not how that works?
No, Hunter creates every single
I found
one
on the internet.
Yeah, Hunter creates all his. That's right.
Yeah, Hunter, that's literally.
Yeah, put some work in, Tanner.
Like, I can't share that one. That's got a watermark on it. Actually, I'm gonna do it anyway, just because it's funny. This is.
I like how
credit to whoever's on there, but it's fine.
I like how many people in the group chat, by the way, are enjoying.
Call this Despicable Us.
The sex number.
This is the show now. This is it. This is what we're doing.
The first and last live stream we've ever done.
I don't know. It seems pretty successful so far. We've got more people listening to this than we do.
Tanner, why? Oh, never mind. I thought I was only seeing half of the iFunny thing, and I thought you went in and tried to crop the watermark out. No, it's just much smaller now.
Tanner, can you hear us?
Tanner, can you hear us?
What's that clicking noise?
Oh, here we go. I feel like this would have probably gone better had we had an actual topic instead of all just us going, hey, we could do a live show. Yeah.
To be fair, you said we should do that.
Well,
we've always just joined in.
What have we ever learned?
We've always wanted to do a live show. I've always wanted to be able to talk to the people in the chat.
So many wees going on right now.
Did you not want to do it? I mean, it's the future of podcasting is doing a live show.
It's good. Again, anything that keeps me from having to record something and screwing up the recording is A-okay by me.
Yeah. We had a couple people ask, like, what's up with the show for the past couple of weeks?
I'm the problem.
Like, what's up with it?
Yeah.
What's up with Claymation?
I don't get that reference at all.
You beat me to it. I was literally going to say, Randy, don't.
Oh. No, I think actually that looks like the kind of people that Tanner plays against when we're not there.
Oh, you kissed my ass.
They're just shooting the TV. Why is it not working?
Michaela Benton just posted in the chat, talk about the new KFC console that warms up your chicken while you play games on it. They're now demanding. This is how bad it is that with our banter, is they're now demanding what we talk about. So
talk about literally anything but this.
Yeah.
Bucka.
I'll talk about it, right, Shannon?
No.
I don't think I'm going to get it only because
you are.
I think it's like $2,000.
Huh.
Well, it's like a high end.
I mean, I was going to make the joke that it better come with the KFC dating game along with it.
What? Well, I mean,
why did Tanner go full Hank Hill?
Tanner, do you not know the work that KFC has been putting into shit lately?
Oh, and it's a high end PC.
Yeah, so they've got,
and it warms your chicken. Like
they've got a KFC dating game. That's true. Where you seduce and I assume sodomize Colonel Sanders with chickens.
No.
But I got Lindsay. I think she broke her recording.
I thought she left. I thought it sounded like she bounced out. Nope. I'm done.
There's absolutely a KFC dating game. That is no joke. They're also making a Lifetime original movie starring Mario Lopez as Colonel Sanders.
It's already out.
Yeah, it's already out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
it's out.
And
it's done.
They just announced they've already announced it, but it is a KFC console. It is a high-end PC. This thing is, like, legit. This is an amazing, amazing PC. All right, Paul. We'll see you in a bit.
It's got an Intel chip, though, which I was surprised by because it's AMD that's making the chips for all the consoles now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, at least for Xbox.
Yeah. But I don't know why are they calling it the KFC console. It's not a console. It's a PC.
That's kind of what they've been getting crap over lately. I think it's just because the C stands for console. It's the KF console, technically.
Right.
The Kentucky Fried Console.
it has it's like an amazing PC too. Like if I got it, it would be both for the joke and for the fact that this thing is VR ready. I think it's got like
this
a 30.
Is why I know you're going to get one.
I'm not going to get one. Yes, I can't. You are. I cannot spend that much money on it. My PC is perfectly fine. Runs Phasmophobia and Among Us and all the other high end games.
But does it heat up your chicken?
It does not heat the chicken. That's true. Yeah.
This is when you figure out it's time to get that KFC console.
Wow, look at that painter's tape.
So Caleb Carter in the chat said I couldn't even match up on the KFC dating game. Parker, no.
That was Caleb. Parker, yes.
I need you to elaborate on that. What do you mean you couldn't match up on the KFC dating game? Are you saying that you were so, I don't know, unlikable that they wouldn't even give you a date in a game? What exactly are you trying to say?
I'm confused.
Or could you just not get Colonel Sanders? And did they have other people to date in there, Lindsay?
It looked like there was. I haven't played it. I've only ever looked at images on it and was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Tanner, what was that? We just heard bang.
He was doing his best Kenny Rogers.
This is actually a picture of Tanner's computer, I think. Taken on Christmas 6 years ago.
Shannon, Tanner, I got you there? A new image for horse time.
I'm here. I'm trying to find some stories here.
I found a new picture for horse time.
Oh,
that's pretty good.
That's pretty sweet. Good. That's pretty sweet.
I like that.
Caleb Carter says he couldn't even get laid in a chicken game.
So let's pull up some kind of topic to get some kind of.
I think Parker disagrees.
he's delivering the topic. What is this? No, we're not doing I Want to Believe tonight, Tanner.
We're doing a little bit of everything.
All right. Well, let's roll up some characters.
All right.
Oh, I need one dark side point. Let me go ahead and get that.
I finally get to use my character, Digger Nick.
No!
Finally.
That's live. Oh, I'm done. I'm out.
I didn't say anything wrong. If your brain went there, then maybe that says something about you.
This is Tanner the second you said that. What's the story, Tanner? Come on.
What's the story,
what's
Tanner? What's the story?
Well, now I'm trying to get to come up and it won't open for me.
This is from the Daily Mail. I'm not reading this.
It's something, okay?
The Daily Mail is a rag. We've had this conversation.
I understand this. But this is an interesting story that I've had. It's an interesting topic that I've had.
Most lies are pretty interesting, yeah.
That's not true. That's not true.
So the premise of this story is a real estate agent goes around putting not haunted signs on houses that supposedly are haunted, which in the United States is actually illegal. Legally, they had to...
Full disclosure.
If you come in to buy a house, yeah, they have to disclose whether or not there's paranormal activity in the house, whether they believe it or not.
Wait, hold on. I know they have to, like, you have to disclose whether or not someplace there's been a crime or something like that, but...
You have to disclose if there's any kind of paranormal activity reported in the home.
Find me some proof on that, homie. You're going to have to prove it to me. I've purchased a house and nobody said a word about paranormal activity.
Well, that's because there wasn't any
paperwork.
But that's the thing. Was paranormal activity reported in that home?
I don't. Who do you report it to? The Ghostbusters? I don't understand.
So the person selling the house has to report whether anything's happened like that. Now, if they don't, it's no big deal. But if say I go to sell my house and a realtor comes and looks at it, and I tell the realtor, yeah, we've had some weird things happen here, kind of, you know, things happening, things being thrown across the room. Then when someone comes and views that house, the realtor has to tell them about that.
I'm not saying that's not true. I just would like to see where that is true.
I'll have to actually get... Because I was told this by an actual realtor here in Illinois. Because she went to sell a house that... Shannon, you might remember the picture we had going around in our group. with the figure at the bottom of the stairs.
Yeah, the place we never actually got to investigate.
Yes, which is sold now, by the way. I got to talk to the new people. But the guy knew things were happening and didn't want to tell his realtor about it. And then after he basically sold the house and everything was finalized, she found out what was going on. And I was talking to her, and she was just saying, thank God he didn't tell me anything about that, because I would have had to disclose it to the new owners. And a lot of times that stops the sale in this area.
Okay, so, and Zane Laney just posted in the chat, he said, I also bought a house recently and no ghost files attached. Meanwhile, Casper put in there bread, toast, Malone. I appreciate both of those statements. To Zane Laney, though, I feel like there's a level of haunting that you would have to report something. If you just have a suspicion because you got some cold spots or something like that, I get that maybe you wouldn't say something and it's not a big deal. But if you have like a full on, are we talking about a full on, like, I don't know, Waverly Hills level of haunting? Because I guess I could see that if it's so bad, you have to report it because the activity is so bad. But, and this is the problem I have with the paranormal, is that if the activity is so bad and if it's so strong, and it's so clearly obvious that there's something haunting this house, then why is it so hard to prove it? Like, why is it so hard to take a camera crew in, take a film crew in, record stuff, and get more than just what we normally get on these videos, where it's a shadow walking in the background, or a light flickers, or a door handle turns? Like, if the paranormal activity is so strong and so bad that you have to warn people about it when they're moving in, then why do we not have definitive proof of the paranormal?
Again, this is a conversation we've had ad nauseum. You can have, I mean, I guarantee you could get like the best evidence ever that's unable to be proven fake or anything, and there's still going to be people out there saying that it's fake, that it's not real. There's just people who refuse to believe, no matter if it's staring them straight in the face.
Well, that's true, but like, okay, not to get political again, but look at like, and I'm sorry for
it
getting political.
It hasn't happened. That's the thing. Shannon said it would be there. Why would it not still be there?
Well, look at COVID. All right, you have people that deny it. Even with evidence staring them in the face, they would say it's not a real thing, it's not a big deal. But the evidence is still there. And most sane people or scientifically minded people would go, yes, it is clearly there. And the people that don't believe it are the fringe minority. Now, you take the paranormal, there has never been that documented proof that is so obvious and so pertinent and so, you know, just mind-blowing that the majority has said, okay, I believe. And this is coming from somebody that wants to believe. That's the name of the show. I want to believe. I'm a big paranormal guy, but I don't know, to disclose a house or to say that the place is haunted for a cup fell off your table or something once. I don't get it, man.
Well, like with the house I was talking about, those, it's a little more intricate than that. But if you remember, like, when we were going to investigate it, the son was going to sneak us in while the dad was out in the river. He just, the owner of the house just wanted zero to do with anything paranormal because he was afraid it was going to hurt
Tanner,
the value of his home.
I don't think you disclosed that to me. You never told me we were sneaking in to hunt this place.
We weren't sneaking in. I should say, it's not, okay, sneaking in was a bad way to phrase it.
Yes, it was.
Live. Okay. So, here's the deal. I looked it up. On a technicality, Tanner is right, but here's the deal. One of the things that has to be disclosed in many jurisdictions is what we call phenomena stigma. It says many but not all jurisdictions require disclosure if a house is renowned for haunting, ghost sightings, etc. This is a separate category from public stigma, wherein the knowledge of haunting is restricted to a local market. Now, here's why. Perceived paranormal activity is an indicator of a possible air quality hazard like carbon monoxide, ironically enough, or toxic mold. That's why it has to be disclosed. It's not because, oh, it may be haunted. It's because, oh, people are seeing things in here, probably because they're not getting proper air.
Now, with that said, though, and sort of in Tanner's defense, because I know where he's thinking on this, and really quick, I just want to point out, Paul Hester says, you guys should check out my Here Behind Delta. My family's been here for 100 years. Paul, message me. Tell me what you got going. We are always interested. Tanner, back me up on this. We're always interested in going on hunts. And
always looking.
Always looking. So please tell me what's going on. In Asian countries, in the Asian culture, hauntings are taken so much more seriously in a lot of ways than they are here in the United States. And if a house is perceived as haunted in some Asian countries, the price is reduced ridiculously. Now, it's not because of ghosts, obviously. Like, it's not because you go in there and you're obvious, you know, you're haunted. It's because the suspicion and the fear of the paranormal over there is so strong that people will avoid buying it just in case because they're so spiritual. So I can see that kind of being a thing in the United States too, where if someone is a spiritual person, or, you know, if they are a believer in these kind of things, that could scare them away. But instead of putting up signs that say, hey, this place isn't haunted or this place is haunted, just drop the price like they do in Japan. And then I can get a really nice house for cheap because somebody saw a plate fall once.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I can't get any direct information on anything outside the U.S. I'm looking, but it's just on a whim here. It doesn't really say anything specific about.
We're laughing about it, like we're laughing about it and joking about it. But honestly, with the kind of people that you see in America, and the people that you know from your experience with dealing with people in the public, and me and Tanner and Lindsay, how many people, if you told them this house is haunted, would they 100% say, I'm not going anywhere near that house?
Most people I know would absolutely want to buy the house.
Well, that's because we know a set of very silly people. But the average American, like if you take most people that don't get into the paranormal like we do and you tell them this place is haunted, they're going to stay as far away from that place as possible. It's like with you and the Ouija board. Every time I bust the Ouija board out and I'm like, oh, you guys want to mess with the Ouija board? You say no. And I know other people that freak out even harder and say, I will not have that anywhere near me. Ouija board is bullshit, man. It's sold by like Milton Bradley.
It's not okay, who produces let's it. Talk it's what about you're that. Doing with it. That's the difference.
So there's a reason why I don't do dowsing rods anymore. And I'm very careful when I'm doing EVP sessions. It's not the fact, the board itself isn't causing the issues. It's what you're using the board for. You're opening yourself for communication. At a very deep level, to the point where they're using your energy, and that's the problem with the Ouija board. The Ouija board itself, I have no issues with. Like, I'm not scared to be in the same room as the Ouija board. I'm not touching it.
I guess. I just don't believe in it.
I don't care anything about touching it. I'm just not going to use it. I mean,
that's what I mean. I'm not going to use it.
Hunter, why would you not use it? Same reason?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, again, it has nothing to do with who produces it. I'm aware that it's produced as a board game, but it's no different in my mind. You're using just another thing to try to, you know, channel or contact something that probably isn't meant to be messed with. It's no different than doing a seance, basically.
Okay, but to me, like, how is that any different than just walking into a building and saying, is there someone here that wants to speak to us? Speak into this mic. Like, just because I'm touching a board and a planchette. You know, yeah, so like
I have more than once told you that this is a big part of the reason I don't generally go with you guys on this stuff.
For me, it's slightly different because you're not offering, I mean, unless you straight up say, take my energy for this, you're not offering your essence basically for them to use to energize themselves to communicate with you. You're just asking them to speak into a microphone. Whereas dowsing rods, you're literally conducting the energy through your body into the rods. Ouija boards, you're using your energy into the planchette to get them to communicate. I don't do it. I don't want to do it. I've done it out of peer pressure, dick.
I've done it too. I've done it, you know, lots of times and never had anything happen at all. It's, you know, God, man, I want to believe in the paranormal so badly on so many levels. On one, the fact that I want to believe that what we see is not everything that's out there. Parker, calm down. Parker, I'm going to let you finish. I'm going to let you put your two cents in. I know you're a big fan. Actual evidence has been so hard to get personally. You know, I talk to the spirits. I go out and I hunt these places. I take pictures. I take video. I try to talk to ghosts. I try to talk to my mom all the time. And I'm always hoping for that reaction, that something's going to talk back, that something's going to touch my hand, and nothing ever happens. Even the best evidence that I've gotten is, you know, circumstantial. I mean, it's nothing that's going to convince anybody. And when I hear talking about stuff about the Ouija board and like, oh, well, it's so bad, you know, that touching it and you're inviting this shit in. If that shit was that easy, if it was that easy to invite a demon inside of me and prove that it existed, I would have done it a million years ago. I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all. And I wish it were true, because I would love nothing, even if it was a demon, I would love nothing more than to know that there is more to reality than what we see. But like, the proof just isn't there for me. I want it to be, and I'm going to keep looking for it. But what we got so far ain't convincing me.
But this is, if you go back to, and I don't remember which one it was, but several months ago, you and, the three of us, minus Lindsay, did that one episode of I Want to Believe where we talked about, like, you know, where we kind of stand on the list. That's exactly what I said at that time. I literally, the title of that show matches up perfectly for me, because, yeah, I would love to, because life would be more interesting if this was all the case. But again, I have not yet seen significant enough evidence of any of it to believe that we're to that point yet. I want to believe, but I can't until right. That happens. So,
and
the way I described it.
My desire for proof on this is, I feel like it's for a good reason. The reason I want to find the you know, paranormal and the afterlife and stuff like that is because if most people know, I lost my parents years ago, and I was very close to my mother, and she's gone, and my father's gone. And I have a lot of friends that have passed away, and not just me personally, but I know people that have had very important people close to them pass away, and some people that it broke them. I mean, it absolutely devastated them. And I would love for there to be something, just so I could tell these people there is something, that you don't have to be afraid of death. You don't have to be afraid because this person's gone. You will see them again. They're out there. I want nothing more. If I could do anything with my life, it would be to prove that, just so I could give people comfort and make people not afraid like I'm afraid, because I'm terrified of dying. I am absolutely terrified of dying. It is the only thing I'm legitimately afraid of, is dying, which sucks, because it's also the only thing that is guaranteed to happen. So dealing with that shit on a daily basis definitely doesn't help the anxiety. I truly am can't man sometimes. Lindsay will tell you all the nights that I would lay in bed of unable to go to sleep, tossing and turning, having panic attacks where I'm like getting up because I'm freaking out because I'm so scared that I'm going to die someday. Lindsay, chime in there and agree with me.
Yes.
Thank you.
And then the other time, just thinking that I'm an alien.
Just to make sure that her audio track gets some additional things there.
That's... Yeah. Lindsay, what were you saying there?
And then the other times when you're just thinking that I'm an alien.
There was one time that I did wake up and I looked over at Lindsay, and I could have swore her face was like morphing into Lindsay's face, and she was indeed some type of creature. Now, I don't have proof, and she swears up and down she's not a lizard person, but isn't that exactly what a lizard person would say?
I was going to say, you know, I've never once had to explain to anyone that I wasn't a lizard person.
Right.
Pretty suspicious to me.
I want to go back and read some of the comments in the chat real quick, because I don't want people to think we're ignoring them. Casper said, fun fact, building construction often flows with people's superstitions. Case in point, level 13. Oftentimes, many multifamily house buildings don't have level 13, though it's easily done, because around levels 10 to 14 in a building, they would require the boiler and HVAC system for levels. So they use level 13 to kill two birds with one stone. That's true. Most, I believe, hotels, maybe all hotels, don't have a 13th floor for that exact reason, because of superstition.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Superstition is very, very, very strong. Paul Hester said he doesn't fear Ouija boards as a mass-produced game thing. Yes, but like Hunter said, you know, it's whether or not you, because of who makes it, it doesn't change what it is.
Yeah,
right.
So was Raggedy Ann doll, and yet there's one of those locked away in a glass case somewhere. So, you know.
Tanner, does Zach Bacon's have that yet?
You know, I don't know. Stand by. You continue. I'm going to look.
All right. Maria Kramer from the show says, I feel that if the spirits wish to use our energies, they can take it from us if we do it willing or not. That's true too. There is nothing in like the ghost honor code that says that ghosts won't just possess you if they want to take your spirit or take your energy. In fact,
which
that's what some horror films are based
that's
on.
That's how that works.
But that they could just take it?
Yeah, I don't think that's how that works at all.
Michaela Mittens.
That would be happening a lot more if that was the case.
Michaela says, this is why I don't watch ghost TV shows. Michaela, you're missing out. Not only are ghost TV shows some of the most, they give some compelling evidence, but they're just entertaining. You can't watch Ghost Adventures and not be entertained, right, Lindsay?
Yes. Especially when you see grown men like screaming like little girls running down the hallway.
Scooby-Doo in the gang. Paul Hester said, I don't fear death. Bring it on. Paul, I envy you, because that is literally, you know, I used to be afraid of two things. I was afraid of death, and I was afraid of everybody abandoning me. I just fear death at this point. And Casper says the floor.
We're not going the anywhere.
Some of you did. The floor 13 exists, but only accessible with a key and not a button on an elevator, only for maintenance. Yeah. The superstition is very, very strong still. Even in 2020, you know, they used to tell people that the only safe place to stay away from vampires is in the church, and they use that to get people into the church. You look back on that, and it's so ridiculous sounding. It's so ridiculous to think that people fell for that. But look at us in 2020, and we're still avoiding, you know, floor 13. We still don't walk under ladders. We still don't eat children. And I think it's time we stopped living in the past.
Why do you want to eat children?
Well, what else are they good for?
Is that a past thing? Is that at some point in time we go, no, we can't do this anymore?
Okay, so Zane says, I'm scared to die in my sleep. When it's my time to go, I want to know my ass is dead. I used to think the same thing, man. I was like, I don't want to be in a dream and die. And then if there is an afterlife, not know for sure whether you're in the afterlife or you're dreaming. So I said that I want to be awake when I die because I want to know I'm dying. So that way, if there's something after, I'm aware.
I'm the opposite. I don't want to know.
No, I've changed my mind because I had one of my panic attacks, Zane. Because one thing I think I've mentioned on the show before, I have really bad anxiety. You might not know that because I do the show and I'm also in wrestling, but like I have crippling anxiety. And one night before I was on my anxiety meds, this is years ago, I woke up literally thinking I was going to die. And I can't remember if it was Lindsay or Allie, one of the two, but I woke them up and I started apologizing to them because I literally thought I was about to die. Like I had some anxiety thing in my sleep. It was a nightmare, but it was so realistic that I actually thought there was like a countdown in my head. So I'm apologizing. I started sweating. Like I'm freaking out so hard thinking I was about to die. And it was in that moment I realized I don't want to be aware that I'm going to die, because knowing that your life's about to end is the scariest shit in the world. And it didn't even kill me as far as I know, or maybe it did. And this is the afterlife, in which case, what did I do to deserve this? Not that it's bad or anything.
It was probably all those times you wouldn't play Tanner, let Tanner play hardcore on Call of Duty.
I again stress that.
Is that Marge Simpson? I didn't know Marge Simpson was on the show tonight.
I would like somewhere in between hardcore and core, like a soft core level. That's what I want. Something
that's
in
the other side of that.
Casper says, I fear the concept of forever, like real, real forever. Just think of that. Living forever, that's terrifying. No, Kaz, that's liberating. Imagine if
no,
you...
No, it's not.
Oh, yes, it is. If you could live forever, not. It'd be awesome.
No, it would not. It'd be horrible, especially if you're the only one.
Well, you know,
to
people
watch
say...
watch everyone come and go.
That's fine. I do that anyway.
No, you don't. Not yet.
So...
I mean, he'd just add to his next level of being angel.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Like,
so, Shannon, to answer your question from earlier.
Just real quick, Tanner, real quick. I just got to get this out. People going to die anyway. I mean, if I live forever, that's not going to stop it. So I might as well live forever.
Go ahead, Tanner. In the sense that you won't be around to deal with it.
I can.
Uh-huh.
You know, like
that's really what
aside,
you want to do tonight?
Well, jokes aside, it would suck. Yeah, it would suck to be the only person that lives and everyone else dies around you. But like, I lost my parents. And that was a shitty feeling. Allie left earlier this year, and that was a shitty feeling. But I don't know, maybe I'm just in a mood, and I'm just in a downward spiral emotionally, but people leaving doesn't bother me nearly as much as it did earlier this year. Now, let me get back on my meds, and that'll probably change.
For now, yeah, but again, this is 1, 2, 3 examples, right? You want to do that forever? We're literally talking now about an infinite amount of examples.
Do you think you would get immune to it eventually? Like, do you think you would be word?
And do you desensitized? And do you think
desensitized,
that's better?
Yeah.
Do you think that's better? Now you get to live forever with no emotions. Super.
I don't know, Hunter.
I'm gonna convince Tanner. You this is a bad idea, I'm telling you.
Tanner, what about Zach Bagans?
So, apparently he does not own the doll and probably will not. The person who took over the museum after the Warrens finally passed is... Where is his name?
Isn't it? It's her son, isn't it?
Son-in-law. Okay. Tony...
By the way...
Tony Spira.
We're talking about Ed and Lorraine Warren. the you know, world famous paranormal investigators when they passed away, where their museum, because their museum is awesome. If I had a list of places I want to go before I die, or Hunter, hopefully never die, it would be the Warrens Museum, because they have, if you like any of the James Wan films, they're all pretty much based on the Warrens case files. So imagine how much fun that would be.
Well, so as you know, and anybody who's a fan of the story should know, Annabelle has been behind a glass case since they came into possession of her, with a sign on the glass case saying, absolutely do not open ever. And she's not been out of there since they put her there. Until back in August, when Tony took her out of the case, grabbing her with oven mitts, put her in a leather suitcase.
Wait a minute. That was his protection against the most dangerous paranormal entity, was oven mitts?
It was oven mitts.
Hey, if it's good enough for a casserole, it's good enough for the paranormal.
Put her in a leather suitcase, demanded that Zach Bagans pay for him and Annabelle to get a first class ticket. To fly out, and then just acted completely shitty the entire time he was at Zach's museum doing an episode of Ghost Adventures. So now there's an ongoing, I think it's ongoing still, a social media war between Bagans and the Ghost Hunters crew, Ghost Adventures crew, and Tony, because of his mishandling of the doll and his lack of concern or care for the team during the episode. So that's interesting. I'm going to see if we can't find some follow-up on that.
I want to really quickly follow up on something that Michaela said in the chat. She said, what I'm scared of is my friends not caring that I died and them just carrying on with their lives. I can tell you that is absolutely not going to happen. People that care about you don't just forget about you. My mother passed away, oh God, Lindsay, what, 13 years ago at this point, I think?
Yeah, and maybe a little more than that, actually.
And I still think about her every single day. My friend Sean, Jackie Blake, died a couple years ago, and I still think about him, if not every day, every other day. People that care about you will not stop caring about you. They just don't. Once you care about somebody, you care about them forever. I have people that I absolutely despise at this point, but I still care about them. I still care very deeply about Allie, even though we haven't spoken in months, and that will never change. So if you have a fear that people are going to stop caring about you when you're not there anymore, just get that out of your head. Not going to happen. The people that love you are always going to love you. We appreciate you. I don't know if you believe that or not, but I very much appreciate you and care about you. So don't worry about that. That is not a fear you should have. Okay, moving on.
Kaz has a very good point. He says immortality is a memory. And I mean, yeah, you live on forever in the memory of people.
Yeah.
What's the proverb? You die twice, once when your physical form expires, and another the last time somebody says your name.
You know, I always said that, and Lindsay knows this, the one thing I always wanted more than anything was to be forgotten. I wanted to be known. I wanted to be known for my work. Like, I wanted to be known for my writing. I wanted to be known for my creativity. Tanner, what are you doing? Are you listening to the...
You watching TV back there? Yeah. Or?
I turned my phone on for a second, and it was playing the podcast, apparently.
Oh. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, I thought what I wanted was to be forgotten, but, you know, when you do lose people, you kind of realize that I don't want to be forgotten. That is something I don't want anymore. Maybe people care about you more than you like to pretend, or you like to say. So, you know, you can't always be bleak. Sometimes you have to be a little bit optimistic about life. You know, not often. Sometimes. Anyway, and Zane, he's not watching Predator. I can guarantee you that. In fact, I bet he hasn't watched Predator yet. Have you, Tanner?
Nope.
He's going to whistle at me? Is that what's
happening? No, that was me. Huh? That was me.
Is that what's happening in the jungle?
I was waiting on an answer from him.
Well, Tanner, we're waiting. Okay. Tanner, what was the last film you watched?
Chef on Netflix.
That's a good film.
That is a damn good film. And I suggest everybody go home and watch that right now. Tanner, if you're not at home.
Tanner, everybody
I didn't realize
home.
It was still on Netflix. You know what's disappointing? The chef show, though. The cooking show they did. It's
nah,
not
I've
fun.
Still enjoyed it.
Nah, it's boring. It's, I mean, as cooking shows go, most cooking shows don't have a whole lot going for them anyway. This, I was like, oh, man, they're going to have Tom Holland. They're going to have a Robert Downey Jr. on there. All these guys that Jon Favreau has good relationships with. And they sure do. And they just stand there and they kind of blandly cook a thing. And then it's like, okay, that's over. Mm. What yeah. happened there?
I mean, it's it has rewarding. Good episodes.
By the way, thank you, Paul. So, thank you for the kind words, Paul. I appreciate it.
And for the people on the podcast here, I sent the pictures of the food I made the other night with all the fruit and everything. And I'll post a picture of it too because I was so proud of it. That's actually the fruit dessert that Jon Favreau makes in the film.
So I'm still kind of suffering from post-COVID symptoms. I can barely taste anything. You could put a stick of butter on a cardboard tube and it would taste the same. You know,
why
actually that's not true.
The butter though.
That's... Well, because the butter's the good part because at least you have that sensation. I can't really taste often, but I get the sensation. I get some taste now. It's getting better. It's getting much, much better. You remember where I was 2 months ago at this point? I couldn't taste a thing. Most of the time I can taste now. The taste isn't super strong, but it's getting there.
I hear but that I weirdly, like McDonald's food in general works. Like I've known a couple people who have said McDonald's coffee does it. McDonald's sweet and sour sauce cuts through somehow. Even though it's not particularly like strong, it's kind of tangy. That does it. I don't know why. I don't know why that's the only thing I've heard is working through it, but that'll do it. Oh, and then I don't know anybody who's tried this yet. And this might very well be a Daily Mail sort of thing, but if you burn an orange, if you like literally roast an orange until the outside of it is burned and blackened, and then you peel it, you mash the warm orange from the inside in with like some brown sugar in a bowl and then eat that. Evidently that helps like reconnect your senses. I don't know. That sounds like an idiot lie. I don't know, but supposedly it works. I don't know.
I've heard different things. Mimi, who's a friend of ours, said to take different essential oils and smell them for like 10 seconds a day each.
And I think that's where the orange thing comes from, because it's an oil sort of thing. That's why you have to burn it, supposedly.
Yeah. And then Krista the other night said to just bite into an onion.
Yeah.
Just bite into it. Just bite
just
into the whole
full
onion.
Full Shrek. Just grab it like an apple and go.
Just have layers. Also, that gargoyle
like
looks suspiciously. That looks suspiciously like a xenomorph. I'm gonna be honest.
It might be.
Yeah, I see which one.
That looks like a straight up xenomorph. Tanner, you know what a xenomorph is, right?
Yeah, I'm joking.
Okay. Perhaps oh my god. Is. All right, so guys.
So, hey, y'all know my health hasn't been great, right?
No.
Oh.
None of us knew that.
No.
What are you talking about? Oh, I swear to God. If
anyway,
you...
the doctor just told me I need to eat more fish. It's fish is healthier and it's, you know, less fatty.
Oh, you son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. I'm gonna click on that and show. Nope, it doesn't get any bigger. That's bacon.
That is
That's
very
just
much bacon.
Bacon. You're a liar and now I can't trust you and we're gonna end the show on that.
Is that it? Is that how this goes out? This is how you're going to let 2020 go?
That's a very random.
Because this is the last show of the year,
stop.
Right?
This, no. Hold on.
I mean, we can do Thursday. Yeah. I have to close, recording will be a little late.
I guess, yeah. Because, I mean, Friday is going to be the first, so it would be in, yeah, this is the last show of the year, technically. Yeah.
This is it.
And we're going out
it's
on
live,
Tanner's fucking fish joke.
Oh. No, I can't let that stand. Hang on.
No, it's fine. That's how we end the year. Now, how will we start it is the question.
I found me anyway. I just gotta get the gotta let this thing stop looping, and then we're done. This is me every Friday show, and now you guys know. That's it, right there. It sums it all up.
Oh, and on that note, we are going to end the show because we're going to go play Call of Duty now.
Yes,
all right.
We are.
Celebrations all around. I want to honestly thank everyone that stuck with us through the show. Zane Laney, Paul Hester, Michaela Menton, Casper, Noah Hudson, everyone else that's in here but not saying anything because I know you
Cavs,
are.
Guys, get ready. We're coming.
We are. I want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart for checking this out and letting us, you know, test this out. This is the first time it was a big if for us. We wanted to test it and you know, it was kind of a random show with a bunch of nonsense, but we had some fun. We had some laughs. We hope you guys enjoyed it too. Now, with that said, this is the last show of the year. We're going to be back on the first, possibly, for an all new Horse Time. It's kind of fitting that that would be the first show of the year, wouldn't it? That'd be Horse Time.
Yes.
And 2021.
I do need people to know that if we had been able to, Shannon and I figured out the other day, if we had been able to do one prior to Christmas, we would have done Have Yourself a Tiny Little Horsemas. Because that was the plan. Have Yourself a Tiny Little Horse Time. That's what it was. And unfortunately, it didn't pan out that we could do it. But there's always 2021.
I'm so excited for it. I'm really looking forward to 2021. I really feel like 2021 is the year that we're going to really break out and make some changes personally and professionally. Like, I'm excited about the possibilities, and I'm really, really, really happy that you guys listening are, you know, along for the ride. And I'm also very thankful for the people in the show, and not just these guys, but everybody that's on the show. I love them so much. They really have made this show special. So thank you guys. And thank you for listening. We'll do it again, I promise. Until then, we're going to go play some Call of Duty. You guys have yourselves a merry little horse New Year's. Be safe. Take care of each other, all the good stuff like that. And yeah, that's all that needs to be said. We'll be back on the first with a New Year's horse.
New Year's.
New horse year. We'll be back on Friday. Hunter, take us out.
Later.